Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's, a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today. Oftentimes I talk with people from our congregation who like to go and check out new restaurants or new businesses around town. And then I hear the report on whether the service was slow or the food tasted great or everything was quick and efficient and a great deal as well. Well, this morning you come and you get to sample the service of your good shepherd. And you will find nothing better anywhere. He nourishes you, he leads you, he cares for you. He is your risen Lord and your good shepherd. We'll hear more about that in our service today, following along the order of service printed out for you in the worship folder and projected on the screen, beginning with our first hymn, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb. Of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Let us confess our sins to God, who is our good and merciful shepherd. Gracious God, we confess that we have not always followed your ways. We have strayed like lost sheep, seeking our own paths instead of following yours. We have failed to love you with our whole heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, and lead us back to you, our shepherd and redeemer. Hear the good news. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. In him we are forgiven and restored. As a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. In our first lesson from Acts chapter 20, we hear about a man who had given great service to the church in Ephesus, spent 3 years with them, shepherding them, and now he was encouraging the next leaders to continue shepherding them with the voice of the Good Shepherd. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is God's word. Continue with Psalm 23. Forever and blessed. The service isn't great everywhere. John wrote to Christians in the first century AD and warned them, there are false prophets out there. Depending on which church you go to, you might need to watch out because they're setting poisonous teachings in front of you. For us still today, test the spirits, line them up with our good shepherd's voice. Do they match? Let's stay there and listen. If not, run away. Our lesson from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is God's word. Stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for today, taken from John chapter 10, Jesus contrasts the terrible service that his people were receiving back at his time. The Jewish leaders, they were just looking to fleece the sheep, only concerned about what they could profit. But the good shepherd, your good shepherd, lays down his life for you, only interested in what is best for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for our next hymn, 553. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, your Good Shepherd. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon today, the first lesson from Acts 20. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The flock in Ephesus was so deeply important to Paul. Paul had invested 3 long years of his life there, shepherding the flock, ministering to them. Ephesus was an important city, after all. It was the capital of the province of Asia that had a territory about the size of Texas, which is what now is the western part of Turkey, or Asia Minor. And during those 3 years that Paul shepherded the flock in Ephesus, the gospel went out all around the entire province. Other congregations were established in different cities around that province. And so it was extremely important to Paul. But not only to Paul, the flock in Ephesus was very important to the Good Shepherd himself. You heard what he said in the gospel lesson today. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And he said, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. So as the gospel went out from that hub of Ephesus, the Good Shepherd was concerned about every city and every soul all around that entire province. This was a big deal. Our congregation is very much like the city of Ephesus. The flock there, very important to the Good Shepherd. He has a considerable amount of time invested in ministry here, over 160 years. From here, this congregation, the gospel goes out to people from not only Howard's Grove, but the surrounding communities as well. And there are more sheep who have yet to hear the Good Shepherd's voice that he wants to bring into his flock, into his pen. This congregation is extremely important to the Good Shepherd, but also to each of you. Here is where you come to graze in his grace and to find rest for your souls. Here is where your children come to be guided in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to lie down in green pastures of God's word and his love. This is serious. This is a big deal. So when Paul learned that he would not come to Ephesus again, and not after this time see the people, the flock in Ephesus again, he called the Ephesian elders to him. He gathered them around, and he gave them an extremely important charge. This is the same charge that your called workers, pastors, teachers, staff ministers, spiritual leaders here have been given, charged to shepherd the flock. Let's look at that charge a little bit more closely. Paul starts out by saying to those elders in the Ephesian congregation, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. Notice who he said to keep their eyes on first? Yourselves, the elders, the pastors there of the flock in Ephesus. A pastor or a spiritual leader can't feed the sheep if he himself is not being fed. The pastor can't tend to the congregation if he's wandering off into sin that disqualifies him for his service. Pastor and other called workers, they have the same fallen nature, the same tendency to wander off into sin and away from the scriptures and their good shepherd, just like any of the other sheep do. And so it comes as no surprise that Paul would write to Timothy, a pastor in Ephesus, watch your life and doctrine closely, because the salvation of so many people, it affects that. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Called workers, for them, it is a must, daily repentance and daily Bible reading, just like it is for the rest of the flock as well. Keep watch over yourselves, but also all the flock. There's an awful lot of sheep in the flock. They're in Ephesus and here as well. But don't just watch over the flock that is trotting back to the pen, coming to church week after week. Don't just keep watch over the flock that is usually happy and helpful. Don't just look after the flock that drops the heavy checks down into the offering box. Spend time with those who are suffering. Seek out those who are straying. Patiently instruct those who are stubborn. Because every sheep matters. Every one of Jesus' lambs is important to him. Be shepherds of the whole flock. This is a great responsibility, and it can feel quite overwhelming to the spiritual leaders of a congregation, and it can also seem rather underwhelming to those who are on the receiving end of that service at times. That's why it's so important to remember who is in charge, who is truly in charge. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made them overseers, the leaders of the congregation at Ephesus. Even though it seemed like a very human process that happened as Paul and other leaders went from city to city and appointed or helped them elect spiritual leaders in their congregation, the Holy Spirit was at work behind that, putting people in place in the right position who had been prepared by the scriptures to watch over and shepherd the flock there. It is the same here at St. Paul's. It may seem like a rather human process that is happening, where our leaders submit a request to the district leadership, they give us a list of names, and our voters select one of those to call. But that is really a call from the Holy Spirit. He is the one who makes people overseers among God's people. Yes, there are some similarities to a job, but it's not so much with the negotiation on compensation, job interviews, hiring and firing. No, this is a call from the Holy Spirit through a group of believers that makes people overseers within a congregation or in a classroom. After all, God is the one who is in charge of all of this. It was an expensive cost. All of our strayings, all of our defiance, all of our stubborn selfishness, our constant listening to foreign voices instead of our good shepherds, the price that had to be paid for that was blood and death. Yet your good shepherd said, "Charge it to me." He, God, took on human flesh and allowed himself to be put outside of the sheep pen, led to the slaughter without grumbling or complaining. The sinless Son of God shed his holy, innocent blood for the sins of the whole world, yours and mine. This is the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You belong to God. Sure, the bank might own about half of our building right now, but the flock, each and every one of us, we belong to God. And that means that every day, everywhere you go, he is going to be tending and watching over you. Every nation and all of history, he has been watching and guarding for the good of you, his flock. And he will make sure to staff our congregation, just like he does every little flock all around the globe, according to his perfect wisdom and timing. After all, he's in charge. And he gives us people charged to shepherd the flock. He has the right and responsibility, and we can trust him because he is in charge. But they are on the charge. They are 5 times faster, at least at running, than any human being. They are amazing hunters. They can smell their prey from over a mile away. They can hear over 6 miles away. They target the weakest and they surround them and they wait to strike at just the right time. They devour and destroy. Paul, he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, if possible, by the time of Pentecost. Yet he knew that after he left, they were ready to pounce. Savage wolves would come and not spare the flock there in Ephesus. Now, Paul is speaking of false teachers. He refers to them as savage wolves because that's how Jesus himself referred to them. Those savage wolves would come from the outside and attack the flock. They would also rise up from within the flock and drag the sheep away. It makes it very difficult to recognize those savage wolves. If they come from within the flock, they look like sheep. But how can you tell? Paul says, they will distort the truth. They listen to their leader, the father of lies. It's no wonder that Paul said to the church in Ephesus, as he wrote to Timothy, he said, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, people will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Paul calls them wolves here, but it's really the devil and his demons that are at work behind false teachings, distorting the truth, seeking to drag the Good Shepherd's sheep away from the only one who saves them from death. There in Ephesus, we get a picture of what these false teachers were saying. If you read through 1 Timothy, a pastor there in Ephesus, Paul says that there were people devoted to myths. Myths were stories that sounded like they could have been in the Old Testament, maybe, but they weren't actually there, distorting the truth. Paul writes to Timothy about people who are devoted to endless genealogies. Now, in the Old Testament, there were many genealogies. After all, it was tracking the offspring of the woman, the promise made back in Genesis chapter 3. Yet those genealogies had an end, a goal, a destination. It was the offspring of Abraham, the son of David, Jesus, the good shepherd. That's what they all pointed to. These false teachers, these savage wolves, were on the charge, attacking the flock in Ephesus. And they're still on the charge today, in the 21st century. They rise up from within the Christian church. They may look like sheep on the outside, but they are savage wolves. They forbid people to marry or from eating certain kinds of food at certain times of the year. Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. They twist the gospel so that it's all about your obedience to God instead of the good shepherd's perfect obedience to God on your behalf. They warp love to turn it into something that God clearly calls sin. They turn faith into our commitment or our decision rather than the Spirit's gift and the Holy Spirit's work. They set the words of a leader among Christians above the words of Christ himself. They twist and warp and rebrand false teachings and call it differences of opinion. Yet what they're really doing is dragging and leading the good shepherd's sheep away from the only one who can save them. My wife has been my co-pilot for about 16 years now. And ever since we were dating, as we drive through the pasture lands of Wisconsin, She's the one who will warn me whenever she spots one of Wisconsin's most dangerous animals, a deer. I grew up in the city, city boy, and so I'm not alert for those kinds of things, the white-tailed threat to motorists. She'll point out the does and the bucks as they're poking their head out from the nearby forest or as they're in the ditch getting ready. Never know which way they're gonna go, but she warns me. Says, Adam, look, watch out, slow down, steer away. Whatever it might be, I need that warning. Well, God has given you someone along for the ride, people along for the ride, to point out the dangerous animals that threaten your life. Here in Wisconsin, 20,000 plus accidents caused by deer every year, and many of them fatal. But how many are fatal when you run across a savage wolf? How many of the Good Shepherd's sheep have they dragged off? God has given us people charged to shepherd the flock. When they point out false teaching to you, when they say, watch out for that false prophet, don't ignore them. Don't be annoyed by those charged to shepherd you. Don't just keep on carelessly cruising in the direction that you're heading. No, watch out. Steer clear of those false teachers. They're deadly. After all, God has given you people charged to shepherd the flock and to warn you of savage wolves that are on the charge all around. Also, charged up. There's a ranch out west that was having major problems. Calf after calf was being attacked, targeted, killed, and dragged off by wolves. Until the rancher put up Fladry. He installed Fladry. He roped off the entire area where his cattle were. And hanging from the rope every couple feet, these long orange flags. When the wolves would see those flags waving in the breeze, they would be cautious. They'd stay away for a while. But then, once they got curious, they wanted to test it out. If they got too close, they would get zapped because the rope was filled with electric current, a dangerous and painful shock, and those wolves, they limped away whimpering. Needless to say, since that Fladry was installed, none of the rancher's calves have died. None attacked and carried off by wolves, at least. God, through the Apostle Paul, says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In the long run, even though Paul had been among the Ephesians for 3 years, it wasn't Paul who was protecting them. It was God and the word of God's grace. Even though Paul was handing over that shepherding task to the Ephesian elders, in the end, it wasn't they who would protect the flock there. It was God and the word of God's grace. God's grace. God is all powerful, and he deals with us still today with his word. It's by grace you have been saved. It is by grace that you are forgiven and that you have faith and that you have eternal life with God. It is by grace that you are among the sanctified. You are holy saints through faith in Jesus Christ. It is by grace that you have an inheritance in heaven because your brother Jesus died. You get that eternal home with the Lord. All of this by grace, apart from anything that you could do and apart from anything that you could earn or pay for, because that's what grace is. So, get charged up on this word of God, on the word of God's grace. Plug into it with frequency. And don't be shocked when you are energized to trust in the Lord and to love those around you and to serve. Complete the circuit from Moses to the Psalms to the prophets to the Gospels to Acts to the epistles to Revelation. Don't switch that off. Keep it connected and running. This will generate power for you in the darkest days. This will maintain the pulse of your faith. This will keep the lights in your room in the Heavenly Father's mansion switched on. And it will completely shock the savage wolves that try to attack you. Send them away howling. This is, in part, what God has given you called workers for. You can look to them and expect them, those who are charged to shepherd the flock, to keep you charged up with the word of God's grace. You are so important to the Good Shepherd, so important to him that he laid down his life for you. He cares about you so much that he cares about your ongoing care. He charges people to watch over you spiritually. Ask the Lord to give you faithful called workers. Encourage your pastors, teachers, staff ministers, and other spiritual leaders in this important work. And thank God when he gives you spiritual leaders who echo the Good Shepherd's voice to you, so that you, the sheep of God, together with those charged to shepherd the flock, might stroll through the green pastures and lie down beside the quiet waters of heaven with the Good Shepherd forever. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with prayer. Loving Shepherd of the sheep, fill us with contentment and confidence during this Easter season as we celebrate your victory. You laid down your life for the sheep and then rose again to assure us that you give us eternal life.
Good Shepherd, save us.
Strengthen our faith to follow where you lead, to the green pastures of your word, to the quiet waters of our baptism, and the gracious table of your body and blood, where our cup overflows with your forgiving love. Guide us to find in you the gate that leads to safety and good pastures.
Good Shepherd, lead us.
Guard and protect us from those who want to lead us astray and snatch us out of your hand. Give us courage to fight against the devil and wisdom to recognize false teachers. Lead us to honor and follow those you have called to shepherd your flock, the church.
Good Shepherd, guide us.
Let your rod and your staff comfort us and all your sheep in times of sickness and sadness, and especially when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. May we find in your redemption, in your Father's resolve, the unbreakable promise that we will dwell in your house forever.
Good Shepherd, console us.
Good Shepherd, please watch over Sigmund Bulitz, who had a stroke and a fall and is hospitalized. Grant him continued recovery according to your will. Help him and Regina and the whole family to find peace in your voice and the life that you have given to all who trust in you. Holy Spirit, you make people overseers in our Father's kingdom. Please be with Pastor Brian Peckman as he considers your call to serve at St. Paul's. Bless his discussions with the saints in Pooler and the saints here. Give him wisdom and clarity. Through this process, continue to defend and extend your kingdom. We thank you also for the calls that you extended to Pastor Norv Cuck and to Mr. Greg Johnson to serve in the future here at St. Paul's. Please continue to be with them in their faithful service. And Heavenly Father, we praise you for receiving Bennett Mason Schrader into your family through the washing of rebirth and renewal by your Holy Spirit. May he grow in grace and walk in your love every week. Give Logan and Leah resolve to raise him in the message of your Son. And may all who are baptized daily drown their sinful nature and rise to live as your sons and daughters. Move us to reach out to sheep who are not yet a part of our sheep pen, but whom you have claimed as your own. Give us your passion to search for the sheep who are lost, and lead us to rejoice when they have been found.
Good Shepherd, inspire us.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. We thank you for all the blessings that we have gained from your goodness, family and friends, wealth and health, work and leisure. Give us wisdom to long for and cherish your more precious gifts, your word and sacraments, so that your goodness and love may follow us all the days of our life.
Good Shepherd, hear us. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for our next hymn. Stand. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May the Lord, our good shepherd, guide you in paths of righteousness and lead you beside still waters. May his rod and his staff comfort you, and may goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Go forth in the peace of Christ, knowing that you are known and loved by the shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep.